Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and earned a bachelor's degree in speech, radio, television, and film, with a minor in journalism from the University of Michigan. She joined WDIV in 1978, and for 34 years has been its beloved senior anchor. She's been a champion for the well-being of children and is universally known for her elegance and grace. Her name? Carmen Harlan. And we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Carmen Harlan, WDIV's senior anchor and the grace and essence of Detroit, Michigan. Carmen, what an honor to have you.
Jack, let me tell you, after that introduction, I don't really think I have to say anything else, do I? Thank you so much. That was so sweet. And, you know, I did tell you that for 34 years, I wasn't the senior anchor at the very beginning, but, I sort of assumed that title after Moreland.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
What would you like to know, Jack? I grew up in Detroit, and my mother's father moved here in the 40s from the East Coast, from Atlantic City, and brought his seven children and my grandma. And they lived on King Street, which is often referred to as the North End. So I grew up with my grandparents here in Detroit. My parents divorced early. In fact, I was adopted as a young girl, my sister and I, by my stepfather. We were raised on the west side of Detroit. We moved from the north end to the west side of Detroit, then moved from the west side of Detroit to the northwest side of Detroit. And we were one of the first black families to move into that area back in the 60s, early 60s. And I went to public schools throughout my entire life. Bagley, Hampton, graduated from Mumford High School. I believed, as most young people did at that time, that with a good education and with aspirations to go on to a college or university, that if I had a dream, I could do it. And so it was a time where young people had hope, and I don't think it was just young people who were hopeful. But the country was hopeful that anything was possible. I mean, if you think about the time period, I mean, we were going through the civil rights movement. There was a youth movement. There was a sexual revolution going on. I don't know how I made it through undergrad at the University of Michigan, but somehow I managed. I think I was focused on a goal. I had a dream for myself and what kind of person I wanted to be, what kind of contribution I wanted to make, and I was able to do that after graduating from the University of Michigan.
A lot of young people today, Carmen, are struggling to find that job that they want. They're questioning whether America has as much hope going forward. What would you say to those young people?
You can't give up. You can't let what's going on all around you define who you are and rob you of your chance to go out and find your place in the world. If you think these times are hard, study history a little bit. I mean, you'll find that, they're difficult and challenging, yes, but believe me, our Americans have had to deal with challenges that are far more severe than what we're dealing with today, and there's still avenues of opportunity. And that's where young people who have, you're at the beginning of your life, don't let somebody rob you of your dreams. If you have that kind of ambition, you've got that kind of drive, you've got that kind of eagerness, grab it and run with it and go for it. I hate to use that cliche, but it's so applicable here. Find what it is that you love in life. Find your passion. Don't be afraid to if you want to paint, paint. If you want to, you know, become a politician. And let me tell you, that's a very challenging field today because, you know, you wonder why people are even who have the desire to want to lead this country politically if they're not afraid to do it because of the it feels like the hostility, the animosity, the mean-spiritedness that we certainly cover day to day. But there is obviously something very rewarding about it. And if that's something that you want to do, if you want to be the next Jack Krasula or the next Carmen Harlan, do it.
Choose Carmen Harlan, not Jack Krasula. speaking of which, how did you break into broadcasting?
You know, it was one of those ideas that was planted early. I used to have a nickname in elementary school because I couldn't stop talking. Could you believe that? And they called me Motor Mouth because I weighed in on almost everything. And this was a history class and at Mumford. I think we were the first ninth grade class that had been admitted to the high school for quite some time, and it took getting used to, I think, for the upperclassmen, because they did all kinds of things. Like, they wouldn't share their lockers. They had a protest. They shut down the school for a day. They walked out. You know, they didn't want babies in the school. And so with that kind of, welcome committee, it was really interesting going to high school at that time. But anyway, to make a long story short, there was a student teacher who was observing our history class, and he pulled me aside after a couple of weeks, and he said, "You know what? I don't know what you're planning on doing with your life, but you ought to consider television news or broadcasting." He said, "I think you'd be really good at that. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, he is still teaching in this area. He lives in the Metro Detroit area and often tells this story." There are a few instructors still at Mumford who remember Mr. Wee, I think was his name. And I have to give him credit because I pursued that as an entering freshman and stayed with it. And when I left the university, I actually got my start in radio, Jack. And so it's nice to be back in front of a microphone, and I forgot just how comfortable radio really is. But I stayed in radio for almost 3 years.
And we're honored to have Carmen Harlan in front of this radio tonight.
Well, thank you.
And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. And we're with Carmen Harlan, who was hired in 1978 by WDIV.
Like a long time ago.
Just yesterday.
Thank you, Jack.
Carmen, yes. Talk to us about a typical day.
For me?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. What is a typical day? Well, after the 11 o'clock, I make it home, and my husband and I sit. We talk a little bit, and then it's, after I'm relaxed enough to go to sleep, I wake up about between 7:30 and 8 o'clock in the morning, and I run my dogs. I do the normal things that people do. I still receive newspapers, although I know, with an iPad, I probably should be subscribing to the papers through my iPad. But I still actually like the feel of newspapers, maybe because I grew up with them. And there's a loyalty there, but I get I get about 4 newspapers a day. I'm going to just share this with you. I try to bribe the Detroit News Free Press lady into delivering the paper to me personally. Do I have to get it by mail? And she said, "Carmen, I can't do that for you." I said, "Oh." But anyway, I get it by mail, the 3 days that it's not delivered. And so I don't get it until the afternoon. But I spend time with my newspaper. I spend time with my garden. I'm an avid gardener. And I used to paint when I had a chance, and I moved my paints and my easels and everything over to a cottage in Canada. So I'm planning to resume that in the near future. But a typical day, and I get ready to go into the station there's something that they need me to do or something that I should know in advance, I'm in contact with them before I get there. But I walk in the door between 2:30, 3 o'clock, and it's, you know, never time to sit down. There, we do updates, either live or tape. We get ready for the... there's the 4 o'clock show. I do a live tease during that show. Of course, that's Ruth and Chuck. And then I get ready for the 5, and I anchor the 5 or co-anchor the 5 with Devin Skillian and Chuck Gatico doing weather. And, I mean, that's from 5 to 5:30. Ruth comes in, sits from 5:30 to 6. Then they have me back on from 6 to 6:30. And then we have a full day, and then it starts back again for the 11 o'clock. And so that's a big day. And days vary depending on what's breaking. And if there's something major, we start earlier.
Speaking of which, in the 34-plus years you've been in this industry, what's the single biggest story you've ever covered?
There are so many. There are so many that, I mean, who could forget 9/11? I mean, that was certainly a day that a single event that changed the course of not just my life but Americans in general. I mean, this country changed after 9/11, and it started from the moment that that, you know, we woke up on the Today Show, and it carried through until it didn't end that night just because we went off the air. But, I mean, it has stayed with us for what the last... We just celebrated the 10th anniversary. And so, you know, journalists don't long for days like that. I mean, those things just happen. And that's part of, you know, of our job of covering a story that that affects the nation. And certainly it had an impact here in the city of Detroit, because we've got one of the largest Middle Eastern populations outside of the Middle East. And so you know that we needed to cover how 9/11 affected them. And we were getting fielding calls as well, because they were afraid that people were going to, or, you know, people of non-Arab descent or non-Muslims would somehow, you know, take their frustrations and fears and anger out on them. And they wanted everyone to know that, you know, they were as appalled and as stunned and as affected by the events of 9/11 as any other American. And we had to get that story out. And I think that was, you know, so when you ask me what is the single most, I, you know, over the 3 decades plus, there have been highs and there have been lows. And each has helped shape the kind of reporter that I've become, the kind of journalist that I've become. And so, I mean, if you ask me probably what was the most inspirational, I'd have to say the visit of Pope John Paul II was certainly, you know, very one of those highs. And just feeling the momentum as he made his way to the city of Detroit, you know, because it was a tour that was coming across the country. The visit of Nelson Mandela to the city of Detroit. How could I forget that? You know, having opportunity also to work with someone that I was certainly well acquainted with from the civil rights movement, and that was the Reverend Jesse Jackson, and he was on with Mort Krim and I, and our coverage, live coverage of Nelson Mandela's visit and his appearance at Tiger Stadium then. So, I mean, I can go back. I don't want to...
Speaking,
you know,
of the Pope.
...to bore you, but there have been so many highs and so many stories, and I'm sure I've forgotten some, but, you know.
Recently, we lost Michigan's Mother Teresa, Eleanor Josephus. Talk about her.
Oh, my goodness. You know, there are few people whose presence offers the kind of... Oh... peace, love,
fear,
all of it. I mean, she had it all. You could look at her eyes, and if she told you that she was going to do something, you knew it would be done. And I'm sure that, you know, losing Father Cunningham was, you know, certainly in her eyes premature, and certainly for Focus Hope premature. But she picked up the baton and carried that for a number of years after his death. And Focus Hope has grown, touched the lives of so many people, not just in the community that it serves, but throughout the Metro Detroit region. And she left us a blueprint of what it is that, as a caring community, we're obligated to do. I know I felt it, and I don't think I'm the only one. And I certainly made that very clear to her family, you know, during her, you know, as we memorialized her. But we know what we're supposed to do. How we go about doing it is up to us. But she certainly was a role model. She certainly left the blueprint for us to follow.
I've recently heard that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is action in spite of fear. And she had courage.
It was part of who she was. And you knew it when you met her. You know, and when we think of, you know, courageous figures, and certainly those of us who grew up with the media and television, and, you know, action heroes are usually the people that come to our rescue when, you know, when we're afraid and we're paralyzed to do for ourselves what we know we can do. And Eleanor Josephus was a modern-day action hero. She didn't have a cape, but she certainly, I mean, you knew that she was walking with God. You knew that there was a stronger power there. And, you know, she earned the respect of everybody that she met. And she touched those that some people felt were untouchable, unreachable. And she wasn't afraid to cross those boundaries and do God's work.
Carmen Harlan, with all the challenges and negative news, mm-hmm. how do you stay so positive and upbeat?
Well, I have these dogs at home. No. They have these big eyes, and they just think the world of me. I have a grandson who is 2 years old, and if I thought, you know, being called a senior anchor was going to be, oh my God, did I really want that? Let me tell you, being a grandmother is probably the most joyful part of my life right now. And, you know, when you love when it's difficult, and you love when it's easy. And once you learn how to love, you don't give in to fear. You don't give in to anger, because you know that those, I mean, everybody has them. Those are the emotions that are part of being a human beings. I mean, you know, we give in to those from time to time. But it's what keeps us going all the time that gives you the courage and the strength to keep moving forward. And so I've found in my own life that, you know, loving is rewarding. Loving gives you courage. Loving gives you strength. And I'd rather be optimistic and hopeful than afraid and alone.
We're talking to Carmen Harlan, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Carmen Harlan, who for 30 years has been a champion and advocate for the well-being of children. Carmen, another thing I've read recently is that what you look like at 20 is God's gift to you. Mm-hmm. What you look like at 60 is your gift to God. You're not there yet. But you have this childlike curiosity and wonderment that most of us lose. And that's a fantastic gift to keep. How have you kept that childlike curiosity and wonderment?
That's a good question, because I have a husband who has that too. So we must keep it alive in each other.
What do you eat?
Well, I mean, nothing, you know, extraordinary, what everybody else eats usually, but fresh. And I'm not a subscriber to any school of thought, but I believe that fresh is best. I believe that living well, and when I say living well, being healthy, you know, I'm active. And that's very important to me. I try to find new adventures to keep me interested and stimulated, and you know, and when you've got a partner that you can do that with, it makes a world of difference. And so I've been very fortunate to be married to a playmate, and I'd recommend that. I really would. That I think that's a key to a good marriage and to a good relationship and to good health.
You're also a great listener. Mm-hmm. How does one become a great listener?
It's hard to be a journalist if you don't listen. Very difficult, because then you run the risk of putting out information that's not accurate. So that's one of the prerequisites, I think, to being good at what we do, and that you listen to the stories that you're being told. And, you know, maybe it's not always the truth at first, but, you know, after a while, you'll be able to play it back. You'll be able to understand it, and it may inspire you to want to listen to another story or another side of the story, which is what journalists are supposed to do, and that is to look for both sides, and then somewhere there's the truth. And so, if that's what we're in search of, you can't do what I do if you're not a good listener.
If they wanted to make a movie
mm-hmm.
about Detroit.
Mm.
And they wanted to talk to one person to tell us about Detroit and Detroiters, I would argue there's nobody better than Carmen Harlan. Tell us about Detroit and Detroiters.
Oh, well, how much time do we have now? You know, it's very hard for me to separate my vision for the city, because I see glimpses of it and the realities that it faces. And it has faced those realities for a long, long time. You know, Detroit went through a period of drought where it was okay not to care about this city. And it was okay to act as if the city didn't mean anything to you because people wrote it off. Well, now we realize that we're not a healthy community if the city is not healthy. If the school system isn't producing the kinds of students that can go on and become good workers and good college students and you know, good parents, good citizens. I mean, that's what public education was actually designed to do, was to create the workforce. We're not, you know, moving forward when people don't have a right to live in a safe community without fear of crime, without their kids being able to walk to and from school without fear of being a victim of crime or violence at random or deliberate. Where, you know, these are the things that we have to decide how we're going to handle. And Detroit is because, you know, we've been so closely defined by the auto industry. You know, they're our lifeblood. They have been for a long, long time, and pretty much are going to be the lifeblood of this motor city. And there's nothing truly wrong with it, but we have to be more than just that. And so while we're reinventing ourselves, we're also faced with some very serious challenges. And we're not the only ones. I mean, you know, Detroiters are sometimes very myopic when it comes to what we're facing. But if you go outside of the state and you visit other major urban areas, they've got some of the same problems. You know, and so we don't have to feel as if we're the only ones that are, you know, are in a crisis situation. But what we do have to insist on, and that is that every Detroiter, whether they live in the city or outside of the city, has a right to live in a community that is healthy, is not crime-ridden, and offers the kind of educational system that they are not afraid to send their kids to. It sounds like a tall order. That was the Detroit I grew up in. I would like to live to see that Detroit come back. And we can do it. It's going to take each and every one of us. We can't, you know, ask somebody else to do it for us because it's too important. So, Jack, I live in the city. And I have lived in the city for a number of years, raised my kids in the city. And, you know, I never raised them to apologize for being Detroiters. And I hope they wouldn't dare today.
For years on Thanksgiving morning, you've been in a booth, a heated booth, on Woodward.
He says that with a little emphasis.
And for many years, I've been in that, you know, corps of clowns, Distinguished Clown Corps.
Oh, I'm
and it's the one morning each year that all people of all races, genders, economic, you know, diversity, they all come together. We're all one on that one morning every year. Why is that?
Because it is something we've inherited, and it's a tradition, and we do it for our children. And we do it for the child that we remember. And we want to believe that anything is possible, Jack. And on Thanksgiving morning, when people come together like that, anything is possible. There is magic in the air. And as long as you believe that if you can dream it, you can do it. You're going to have to work hard, and you're not going to let anybody spoil it for you, and you're not going to spoil it for yourself by doing something silly or not thinking. You're going to do it because it's the right thing to do.
Don't let others rain on your parade.
Dear, if that's a mantra, it's okay with me. If that's what young people need to understand, you know, life's not easy, and it hasn't been for anybody, really. There are challenges across the board, growing up, finding your niche in life. Where, what am I supposed to do? What am I? Who am I supposed to be? Who am I supposed to marry? You know, that's probably the hardest decision most of us will ever make. I mean, finding a career is one thing. Finding a partner is something else. But, I mean, these are the decisions that, as individuals, we have to make them. Our parents had to make them. Our grandparents had to make them. Our children will have to make these decisions. And boosting that kind of ambition, that expectation, that anticipation, getting them ready to start the race, that's what we need in this city. Get everybody ready to start the race, whether it's from the kindergarten, preschool, high school. I mean, grandparents have done it for years, but they still want to be able to support the youth in this community. And so, and that's, you know, that's what I want to see. That's the kind of connection. And, you know, to see us do it on Thanksgiving morning, because this is the day that we celebrate family and what it means to us. And for some of us, we're blessed to have our own, you know, biological families that we, you know, come together with. But other people have to find their own and make their own families. But they reach out and include somebody who might be left alone for Thanksgiving that day. And so it's about family.
We're talking to Carmen Harlan, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Carmen Harlan, who's the essence of elegance and grace.
Well,
Carmen,
thank you.
Let's talk about your second family, starting with Devin Scillian.
Devin Scillian is he's like my brother. I mean, he's smart, talented, energetic, never tires. I've never actually seen him, you know, go, oh my goodness, this is, you know, no, that's not Devin. If there's a task, Devin will step up and do it. And as I said, he's like a brother. And
very accomplished writer?
Writer, painter.
Musician?
Musician, singer, composer. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name it. He tires me out just thinking about everything that he does. But, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better co-anchor and partner.
Nobody that is that handsome can you trust, though, Carmen. Just a joke.
I hope he's listening.
Chuck Gatica.
Chuck Gatica. Oh, my goodness. I've known Chuck for a long, long time. And what you see on the air is who Chuck Gatica really is. That's rare. I mean, most of us, you know, I don't want to say we take on a persona, but it's not uncharacteristic. But Chuck is who he is. I mean, he knows whether he cares about the audience in such a way that, you know, if the weather is going to turn serious, he's there. And he's watching those charts, and he's monitoring, you know, all of the instruments that are at his disposal. And believe me, I know that people are, they believe. If Chuck says, you know, we've got severe weather coming, and if you have to go to a safe spot in your house, he's not going to mislead you. And he's telling you the truth. And based on his own, not just experience, but he truly, truly cares. And plus, he's got a wonderful sense of humor. I mean, you can't work with Chuck and not smile. And I think that's, you know, that's in itself a blessing.
Bernie Smilovitz.
Oh, my God. Bernie is the guy in class that you got in trouble with, and you still do, because he's going to tell you something that's going to make you laugh, you know, whether it's on the air or off, and talk about a sense of humor. And a nice guy. He really is a nice, knows sports, loves sports, and he's the guy that used to sit behind me. And, hey, Carmen, have you heard this?
And before Devin was Mort Krim.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, and we've worked together for a long, long time. And, you know, I facing the day that I knew was inevitable and that he wasn't going to be there forever. I mean, he had other aspirations. And, you know, there comes a time in our careers when you've been there as long as you're supposed to. And so I treasure the years that we were together. I think the team was one that people turned to for any number of reasons, along with the news coverage and of what was happening in the region, in the city, you know, as far as the important events of that day. But they got a little something else, and they got a friendship. They could feel a bond, and we've tried to carry that through, in you know, with Devin, Chuck, and Bernie. And I hear it quite a bit that, you know, do you script those ad libs? Do you script, you know, what we hear in between? I said, you can't script that, dear. That's real. And so it feels like a family, and I think our audience recognizes it, and they should, because it is real.
Carmen Harlan, a lot of people that have experienced fame and success, it's gone to their head. Mm-hmm. You not so. Why?
My family. You know, they're the kind of people that when you get around them, it's like, come on, get real. Come down to earth. We know you. We remember those moments, you know, growing up. And you need that. And that's been a good balance for me. So,
What do the happiest people you know have in common, Carlin Harlan?
What do the happiest people I know have in common? They appreciate the gifts that God has given them. And they share those gifts with others. And that's a good start on the journey of how to be happy in life. And, you know, we're all given certain talents, skills, and it's not until we share those that we truly understand what a gift is, because gifts are meant to be given. And so I think that's probably the main theme, that the people that I know who are happy continue to share those gifts.
Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote a lot of great lyrics and music. One little lyric was, "A bell isn't a bell until you ring it. A song isn't a song until you sing it. Mm-hmm. And love isn't love till you give it away." As we close out tonight.
This is over?
Last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners, Carmen Harlan?
Oh, don't give up. It seems insurmountable. The obstacles facing our community, our nation, but they're not. You've got a lot of people behind you who will support you in many, many ways. And always know that when you're doing the right thing, there will be people behind you every step of the way. So don't give up. Prepare yourself for whatever it is that you plan to do with your life, and don't be afraid to dream. Dream big. I did.
Carmen, you're the very essence of all that's good and great about Detroit. Thanks for all you do. Please keep it up and keep dreaming.
Jack, you made this very, very easy. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spot.